One, if you will. I mentioned this morning briefly that we'd start a new series study tonight on growing in the knowledge of Christ, and no better place to start that series than in 2 Peter chapter 1. It's a verse we've actually talked about a lot. We've studied it some in the past, but take a little deeper look at the beginning of this study tonight, these eight virtues, eight characteristics that need to be ours, each and every one of us. And if they're not, I fear, as we talked about this morning, there's a problem. And not that we're all going to have the same level of each of these different characteristics, because we're all individuals at heart. We're all individual humans, and no two of us are exactly alike. But it doesn't keep us from having to have and needing these characteristics. If you take a look at them, you'll see what I mean, because there's some requirements and some promises that go along with having these characteristics. Let's read beginning at verse 5. Actually, no, let's back up. Let's begin at verse 2. Peter would write, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and special or precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world with lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and you abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Who among us would not want that entrance to be made abundantly to us when it comes time? I know I do, and I'm sure everyone gathered here does. If you haven't memorized these virtues, put them to memory. I'm going to give you a little way that you can do that and call them back to your focus just quickly. If you'll take your pencil, if you're making notes, and just write down these abbreviations. First one is F-A. The next one is V-I-R. I'll give you a minute to do it. F-A, V-I-R, K-N-O, S-E-L, P-E-R, G-O, B-R-O, L-O. That's just the first few letters of each of those characteristics. Christian graces, we call them. You should have favor, no, followed by S-E-L, cell, or S-E. Did I give you cell? Okay, I thought so. Per, go, bro, low. Okay. Say them with me. Fay, ver, no, sell. Pro, or per, excuse me, per, go, bro, low. Per, go, bro, low. Easy to say. Per, go, bro, low. Per, God, brotherly kindness. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Per, go, bro, low. Use that. You may come up with something different, but if there's anything you ever want to remember and memorize it so you can recall it, if somebody asks you, what are the Christian graces? And if you it takes about a minute and a half to just force these into memory, or do it the way that you can, but memorize these things. And somebody says, I don't know what the chances are of somebody asking you what the Christian graces are, but if they do, you'll know. But more importantly than that, you can recall them to yourself. What do I need to be about? What's my function as a Christian? What are the characteristics I need to have to be the Christian God would want me to be? He says in here that those who don't have these things have spiritual myopia. You know what myopia is? That's a fancy word for nearsightedness, short-sightedness, nearsightedness. In myopia, things at a distance are blurry because they're focused in front of your retina and not on the retina. So you have that distance thing going on, so you can't see clearly things that are out there. Short-sightedness. And amnesia. Look in verse 10. You don't remember where he says short-sightedness and amnesia? Excuse me, it's verse 9. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Myopia and amnesia. Spiritually, we don't need to have those. We need to know why. Why were we saved from our sins? Why did you choose to put on Christ in obedience to the commands of Christ in baptism? Why did you choose to do that? Saved from your sins, number one. But wasn't it also to become what God wants you to be? God wants you to be these eight characteristics as a Christian and his child. And if we can't be these things, there's something wrong with us. Remember I said this morning, God has never given us a command or an instruction, a directive that we could not do. That would be mean. Our God is not mean. He gives us those instructions because it's what's good for us. Before I get so far off my notes like I did this morning, let's go back to them. Peter gives us five reasons that these things should be ours. In these verses, we have five reasons that we should grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. First of all, grace and peace are multiplied. In the very first verse, we said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Who doesn't want their grace and peace to be multiplied? If you don't, this message is not for you. If you do, then the grace and peace he's talking about. Now, grace, that's a kind of a common greeting throughout Paul's letters, Peter's letters, etc. Grace and peace from the Lord our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace is just requests God's unmerited favor to continue to be upon those who are receiving the letter. And peace is that peace that no one can give but God, that peace that surpasses our understanding. Those things, Peter says, these be yours. And he says they're yours in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Because it's his divine power that's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In all these things that pertain to life and godliness, it includes grace and peace. Grace and peace have to do with godliness? Yes. Have to do with life? Yes. This life is pretty dismal if you don't have any peace about it. And a lot of people think they have peace, but that's just the absence of skirmish, not the peace of God that he gives us freely, that we can all have, that takes over when our troubles begin. Grace and peace be multiplied. They're multiplied to us, he says, in the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Secondly, all things pertaining to life and godliness are provided. Life simply is that spiritual life and well-being. He's not talking about our actual physical life, but spiritually speaking. And then godliness is behaving in a manner which comes out of devotion to God. We behave as we do because we want to be pleasing to God. When you were a kid, you behaved in a right manner because you wanted to be pleasing to your parents because it was just better that way. Probably didn't realize that until you got to be older. I didn't. But we behave in the manner that we behave following the guidelines set about New Testament Scripture because we want to be pleasing to God. There's blessing and benefit in being pleasing to God. And as we grow in the knowledge of Jesus, we're able to do that much more fully. And then we have, you know, remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? Joe was asked this morning about Bible verses. If somebody asks you, what's John 10:10 say? The last part of that says that Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. We can have that abundant life with the grace and peace that God gives us and given us and provided for us all those things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 4. By which have been given to us. Now these things are included in all this. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Those promises that pertain to our salvation, our home eternal, God's providence, God's blessings, all those spiritual blessings that are found in Christ Jesus, as Paul tells us in the Ephesian and Philippian letters, exceedingly great and precious promises that only God can make. No one can make those promises but He. The next part of that verse is that He enables us to be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature of Christ, the divine nature of God, that divine nature of Christianity, comprised of these Christian graces, all eight of those. And then He says it frees us from the corruption that's in the world through lust. You talk about blessings of life and godliness, those three just in verse 4 are dynamic. You can't get those anywhere else but by the knowledge of Jesus Christ. The world doesn't have those. The world doesn't have any great and exceeding promises other than hell, fire, and brimstone when they're done here, right? That's a pretty strong promise. And if God didn't promise that, He'd cease to have the nature that we love to have about God, because He's fair and just. Wrong gets punished, right gets blessed. Great, precious promises, partakers of the divine nature, and frees us from the corruption that's just so rampant in the rest of the world. Then in verse 9, He talks about the short-sightedness and forgetting who we were. Failure to grow indicates that we've forgotten why we came to Christ in the first place. Said that a little bit ago. And then the last promise is in the next verse, in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Here's the promise. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, He doesn't mean there that you're not ever going to sin. We're all prone to sin. We just do those things. We stumble. We little bitty stumble on occasion. But this stumble is the big stumble, the apostasy, that we'll never, if we do these things, if we're about all these graces, if we're diligent to make our call and election sure by adding these graces to our faith, which we'll talk about how that works in just a second. But if we're diligent to do that, we'll never fall away. We'll never stumble to the point of that we relieve ourselves of the target at the end of all this, which is salvation, right? We'll not lose the salvation. If you're about these graces, if you're about this diligence and making your call and election sure, salvation down the road one day, that's a promise, great and exceeding promises. If we stumble on occasion, what does John say? If we confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Christ continues to cleanse us, etc. Those are great and exceedingly special promises only to His elect. They're ours for the taking. They're ours for the having. If we diligently, I talked about being diligent, how often is diligent appear in your New Testament? It appears two times, in verse 5 and verse 10, in this passage alone. God's serious about us being diligent. Now, let's go back and look at the graces once. Faith is the foundation. Faith, belief, faith, doctrine, faith is the foundation of all this. Without faith, what does the Hebrew writer say? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's not just by osmosis. It's diligence and stick-to-itiveness, steadfastness. Faith is the foundation. Add to your faith virtue. What's virtue? Righteous living. Doing things in the right, virtuous way, not as the world does. Add to your faith virtue. Then add to your virtue knowledge. There's the next key. Knowledge is having correct insight. Someone said one time that no learning ever takes place unless there's first insight. That makes sense to me. When you're learning how to do something, the little light bulb goes on, oh, I get it. That's insight. You're seeing into the situation. You're seeing into the problem. You're seeing into, have that insight into the learning. No learning ever takes place without that insight, no matter what. Learn how to ride a bicycle. Oh, I get it. You pedal this, the back wheel turns. You hold this right and you balance yourself. But that's insight. So knowledge is having correct insight. We add to our faith, virtue, to our virtue, knowledge, to our knowledge. What's the next one? Self-control. So you're learning already. I heard it over here, self-control. What's self-control? Self-discipline, doing things, not doing things in accordance with what pleases God and how we know we should be. The next one is perseverance. These things don't mean they don't mean 10 cents if perseverance is not part of the equation, because perseverance is that steadfastness that keeps us going no matter what. Tough times, easy times, good times, bad times, we persevere through this. That's that diligently making our call and election sure. It all fits together. What's the next one? Somebody tell me what the next one is. Perseverance. What? Thank you. Godliness. Pergo brolo. Godliness. Godliness is that way of life that pleases God. The way of life that pleases Him, because that's what He wants us to do and that's how He wants us to be. Acting rightly about things. Next one's brotherly kindness, love towards the brethren. Pretty simple. Agape love toward the brethren, seeking their best and highest good regardless, as we do for others. And then love, the eighth one. That's agape love. Those things build on one another to the point to where one of them, if you take it out of the equation, if you take love out of here, what do you got? You got a bunch of words that don't have the full meaning as if love is added to it. If you take brotherly kindness out, it doesn't mean the same. You take any of those eight out, and the quality of the Christian life is altered. We have to be about these things. We diligently have to be about these things if we're going to be pleasing to God. He's given us, through His divine power, all that pertains. Everything that we could ever hope to have about life and godliness are ours, in His great and precious promises, if we're diligently about these things. That's just a surface look at this growing in the knowledge of God, or growing in the knowledge of Christ. Memorize those graces, those characteristics, and beyond memorizing them, each one of us has to diligently make them ours. Use them, work within them, all eight of them, or we're not being what God knows we can be. Again, He didn't tell us to do anything that He doesn't know we can do. Song that's been chosen tonight is number 907. Hark, the gentle voice of Jesus calleth tenderly upon your ear, day in, day out, 365 days a year, every minute of every day. If you this time have a need to respond to His call, this is a good time to do that as we stand together and sing 907.